The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Dr. Rab, what's up, baby?
I like that.
This is the week of Halloween, so we got a good old Halloween show we're going to get into here on Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear the show every Monday through Friday right here on Tony Curry Radio at 7 o'clock at night. It's a perfect spot because you're just getting in. You want to listen to some podcasts. You want to listen to TKR. You listen to all the questions. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Their number, of course, the Ross Bridge Animal Hospital is 208-0301, 208-0301. At Ross Bridge Vet on Twitter, the Ross Bridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. And it's always brought to you by our good friends down there at the beautiful Ed's Pet World. I went down there just a couple days ago. They have a cockatoo named Buddy down there. Sweetest bird I ever seen. They got all these exotic pets. They got rabbits, chinchillas, tarantulas, all kinds of great fish, caiman alligators, you name it. And of course, Seth's also into his wonderful toy closet. He calls it Seth's Toy Closet. If you have some toys up in the attic, still in the box, you want to go buy, sell, and trade, they'll do some wonderful jobs. Maybe you can go down there and say, I want a caiman alligator and I have a great Battlestar Galactica ship. Will you want to trade? I mean, you never know what they're going to do. It's Pet World. They do fantastic work. And Angie, of course, down there is my sweetheart. She's a wonderful woman. How you been, brother? Everything good?
Everything's good. I want to ask you a question because this popped in my head today. Mm-hmm. Because I know what my answer is, but I want to know what your answer would be. Do you have a musical guilty pleasure? Something that people would think there is no way that the Tony Curry likes this band or this song? You have anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Steely Dan stuff, not so much. James Taylor is big. I am kind of getting into the point in my life now where I'm listening to some of that really soft 70s stuff, the Ambrosia stuff, the Bread stuff. I mean, sometimes I'll hear a Barry Manilow song and I'll kind of lose it a little bit. I went to a nursing home. I went to Danbury Nursing Home. I go there every week to visit a little bit. And I do a little entertainment, and I was into some Glenn Miller Orchestra last week. They were playing some Glenn Miller Orchestra, and I kind of got into it. I got off on it a little bit. How about you?
Well, it's funny that you should say that. So today I heard Harry Nilsson.
Yeah.
What's the song from Midnight Cowboy?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's a little bit in that genre. But for me, for whatever reason, an Annie Lennox song, Walking on Broken Glass, came on the radio. It was at work. Yeah. And I had not heard that song in 20 plus years.
That's a good tune.
And I thought, I like Annie Lennox.
we used to play, and it's not one of my favorite songs, the Eurythmics and Sweet Dreams. We used to play the Bejeebers out of that big song. But you know, Harry Nilsson, you know, he was good friends with. He actually helped this band become a band, and that would be Paul McCartney and the Beatles.
No kidding.
Oh yeah, go pull up Harry Nilsson and Paul McCartney and John Lennon. They were buddies, and they actually used to listen to Harry before they became a band and loved his music. And Paul will sit there and tell you there was a lot of different arrangements he had in his music that helped create the Beatles.
Wow.
How about that?
Hey, that's the information that you get.
There you go. We're hopefully going to get some information on some pets, dogs, kitty cats through the Ross Bridge Animal Hospital. We have some great emails today, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I do want to start with a couple of different things here, including Air Essentials. Has just come out a couple days ago. I think I sent you the article. They have launched the first ever pet fragrance. I would have thought for sure someone had some type of pet fragrance before, but it's a fragrance. There's cuddly cotton, there's puppy petals, and there's fresh fur ever. It's a first ever fragrance where you can actually spray it on your dogs and cats to make them smell better. And you're thinking to yourself, dogs and cats ain't going to like that because if it smells good, they probably ain't going to like it. If it smells like dog crap, I mean, that'd be great. But the fragrance through the company has been scientifically proven to be loved by both pets and their owners. Your thoughts?
I mean, you know, we've had, and I don't know how this would differ from this product. And I looked at the article, but, you know, groomers have had stuff like this, you know, for a while. And I even got something in the mail last week from a company who makes these, you know, spray-on products, but it might differ, you know, from this in some way, shape, or form. But I mean, this is not surprising at all. I mean, the pets are always in our face. The dogs are always in our face. We don't want them to smell bad.
Yeah.
So of course we're gonna get something on them. I want to start seeing some TV commercials like the Axe body spray, but with dogs. That's what I want to see. You remember those old, like some dude would like spray it on and then he'd be at the mall and he'd have to start running through the mall because all the girls are chasing him.
Uh-huh.
I want a commercial like that with a dog.
Now I've seen the kitty litter commercials, you know, where the cats are dancing in the disco and the cool cat comes out and he's doing some Saturday Night Live thing and it's called the slide. It's the cat deodorant, it's and the poop slides out as opposed to you having to dig it out, but it slides and the whole thing is again. So I mean, cats are kind of cool that way, but I think that's a great idea. It's crazy because we as humans, if we tell you if you spray this on, you're going to pick up women, we'll buy it. We don't even care what it stinks like.
No question.
We get after it. So let me ask you this. I mean, and this is evidently a safe alternative, obviously, to bathing your pet once every 2 or 3 weeks. I'm in the process of selling my home. And my realtor always sends me these things that people who have come to see my home say. And they always say it smells like dogs. And I'm like, well, I got two dogs. And I mean, I've sprayed the place. I've cleaned out the vents. I wash my animals. I've got their bedding cleaned. I don't know what, and I don't smell it. And I got a pretty good sized schnoz, but I'm used to the smell. And so I think the house smells fantastic. And I'm trying to think maybe if I should get some of this fragrance stuff just so they smell better.
You can, and they make stuff. They make stuff for pets that will. It's almost like Febreze. You know, it's not Febreze.
Yeah.
But it won't smell like anything. It's like there's also some crazy candles that are, I mean, unbelievable at eliminating pet odors.
Really?
I wish I could remember the name of them. I'll have to look into that. There are some practices, like if we don't at Rossbridge, we don't do a lot of retail stuff. That's just not, the veterinary industry has just kind of changed. You know, back 20, 30 years ago, there was also a big retail side to veterinary medicine, leashes and collars and, mm-hmm. stuff like we're talking about now, like, you know, over-the-counter sprays and candles. And these certain odor-eliminating candles used to be really big, and I know they still exist, but I'll look that up and I'll share it with you.
All right. We got a couple other stories we'll get into. We got a lot of emails I want to talk about, one is a very interesting article, and I meant to send it to you, but I'll get into it. We may get into it next week. We may not have enough time because we have so many questions, but there is a group of people out there that's saying that that animals are leaving their paw print when it comes to climate control from gas emissions from animals, and they're asking us to buy smaller animals and also, of course, biodegradable leashes and everything else. We'll get into that story coming up in a few minutes. And also, when I was at this nursing home last week, I asked the woman at the front if I could bring one of my dogs in, and they said no. She said, we don't need to bring dogs in because we have this. Do you know what I'm talking about? You want to take a stab at it?
They have a reptile. Do they have a reptile?
They do not. They do not. But I'll tell you about it during the show here on Dark Side of the Pooch. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Let's get into some mutt mail. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got people that are double, triple dipping. I love it. They know we're going to read their emails, so they're checking in. And Toby in Cahaba Heights is one of those guys. He has heard us in the past talk about pet insurance. He wants to know, is it a good idea to have pet insurance? And second of all, how much should he take out in pet insurance? Your thoughts?
It's a good idea because vet care is expensive, and there's several different types of policies. You can get just like a, you know, all encompassing policy that would cover everything from routine stuff to sick stuff to emergency stuff. Or you can get one that would just cover emergency or just cover wellness. And, you know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago on the show, you know, what the, I think it was maybe the lifetime cost of a pet is, including pet food.
It was like 57 grand.
Like $50,000. So, I mean, at least half of that is going to be, stuff that you couldn't claim on insurance. It's going to be food. But, I mean, I think it is not unreasonable to think that, just on routine wellness stuff, you could easily spend $1,000 a year, if not, up to 1500. So, I would plan, if you can find a plan, that kind of puts that in the range, then I think that would be good. But the way the plans work is you just save your invoices, you submit that to your insurance company, and then the insurance company reimburses you once you hit the deductible. It's just, I mean, there's a deductible just like you or I would have for our insurance.
Okay, there he is, Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you, of course, by Ed's Pet World. He's Dr. Rab Stewart of the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, the best place to take your animal if you need any care, any pet care. They do shots. They do the whole nine yards. It's fantastic. Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301. Jessie in Fort Worth says she has a cat named Mr. Bumbles who has three eyelids on both of her cat's eyes. She wants to know, is there any problems with having three eyelids? And why are cats always the ones that seem like they have weird, strange, I don't know, cat issues, where they have six toes, two tails, but eyelids. She said both are, and you can tell the cat's got three eyelids. Is that an issue?
Well, so the normal anatomy of dogs and cats, they have an upper eyelid, they have a lower eyelid, and then it's semantics, but they have what's called a nicotating membrane or a third eyelid. And it you can if you look closely, you can see it. Sometimes it'll cover the eye right before they blink. But if you open the eyelids of your pet and you look towards the nose on both sides, you can see a tiny little pink flap, and that's the third eyelid or the nicotating membrane. And so I wonder if that is what she's talking about, then it's normal for them to have. And some pets have a more predominant third eyelid than others, and it might protrude, or it might just cover a little bit more of the eye than it normally would. And that can be normal, especially in cats. So I would say it is normal. And dogs, they can get a prolapse of this eyelid, and it can cause them to not produce tears very well.
Wow.
And sometimes you have to replace it, and tuck it back where it needs to go surgically. I don't believe that I have ever seen that in a cat, though.
Okay. The one reason I would think that a lot of cats do have maybe six toes, five toes, I may be totally off here, is perhaps there's more inbreeding between cat breeds than there are dog breeds. First question is, does a cat know that it's a relative of another cat? Do they really care? Does that go for dogs as well? And is that a reason? What do cats inbreed a lot more than dogs do if they're wild or they're just out in the front yard?
I would think that feral cats would have a larger breeding population and be more diverse in their breeding. And the reason I say that is because when you have a mixed breed dog, when it is just running around nature procreating, those dogs typically have a bigger gene pool than purebred dogs. So I would assume that the same would go for mixed breed, and most people refer to mixed breed cats as domestic short hair or domestic long hair. But I would make the assumption that there would be less inbreeding in wild or feral populations of cats.
Just because they don't want to be together, or they just don't hook up, or why?
No, just because there's more of them, and
Yeah.
they the so okay so. Let's say this. All right, as an example, let's say you have a small, we're talking about people now. Let's say you have a small island of people.
Yeah.
Let's say there's only, 10,000 people on that island versus a huge continent like North America.
Yeah.
So let's say those people never leave the area.
Yes.
So the small island is going to have a smaller gene pool and probably more inbreeding and probably more problems
True.
than, a huge continent like North America, because there's more people, there's more diversification. So if you take that example and you use a pet population, so you have a, let's just say a crazy cat breed that you don't see very often, like a Devon Rex. Okay. There aren't that many Devon Rexes compared to just wild cats outdoors.
Yeah.
So you take a Devon, you take a couple of Devon Rex and you breed them. Well, there's a greater chance that they are closer relatives than just some random cats that are running around, you know, outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why you're probably going to have less inbreeding with a wild population than you would a domesticated population.
That makes sense. And so let me ask you this, what are some of the most common issues with inbreeding dogs? I mean, I know there's a lot of breeders out there, then it's a lot easier to go ahead and just inbreed their animals. And we pretend it doesn't happen, but we know it does. But what are the biggest issues there?
Lots. I mean, obviously it's lots of stuff that you'll see, you know, early on, in life. Mm-hmm. So neurological issues, maybe they don't have a well-formed skull, or they don't have a well-formed brain. And so they'll, you know, have neurological issues, or maybe their neurological issues will be so bad that they don't even live very long. You know, cardiovascular issues are also really common. Spinal defects. So those are the main things that you'll probably see with when you have inbreeding.
All right. One more email question. info@tonycurryradio.net right here on Dark Side of the Pooch, 7 o'clock every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 7 o'clock Central Time, no matter where you're listening in the Birmingham area, the world, the nation, we're everywhere. We got over 5,000 Ukrainians listening right now. We have a huge contingency in Sydney, Australia that listens to a bunch of our songs and everything we do here on Tony Curry Radio. We greatly appreciate that. And then we'll get into what they're going to have in nursing homes. I think it's very, very interesting. Tony in Newport, Kentucky, my old stomping grounds, has a schnauzer who goes into the living room every night around 7:30 and stares into the corner and barks and growls. They laugh about it. He actually posted a video for me and thought it was funny at first, realized there's nothing inside the walls, and now he's wondering, based on some conversations you and I have had in the past, is his dog having some type of dementia, perhaps some type of seizure situation? What do you think about that?
It's very possible that it's dementia. I mean, one of the things that we use to, you know, try to figure out if dementia is a possibility is strange behavior, like staring off into space or staring mm-hmm. at walls. That's one of them. Another one is just seeming to get lost in the house, going to areas they don't typically go to, or being yeah. antisocial. And then also the apparent loss of being housebroken. You know, you have a dog or you have a cat, and they for over a decade, they've been, you know, potty trained, and now everything's going backwards. So, what Tony's saying meets one of those requirements. So it would depend on the age of the dog. Dementia is not something that is you're going to see in middle aged to young dogs. The other thing that can happen, and I don't think that it could have a brain tumor. I don't think that's, I mean, you know, I don't think it would be 7:30 at night every night. You know, it's when this happens, because if it were dementia or a brain tumor, these behaviors would probably be more throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Now dementia can happen more at nighttime. So that's why I would lean more towards, if there is something going on, it's probably more dementia than something like a brain tumor, because a brain tumor, you'd see those symptoms most of the day, if not all day long.
Yeah,
but dementia seems to be more prevalent at nighttime.
All right. Dark Side of the Pooch, 7 o'clock every Monday through Friday. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Tony Curry Radio Podcast. It's Curry with a K, or TKR Podcast. And you can listen to hundreds of episodes. We're well over 1,000 episodes of all of our shows here on Tony Curry Radio. And we are rolling, baby. We are getting after it here. Social isolation cited for $6.7 billion in additional Medicare cost annually in this country. And the New York State Office for the Aging, also known as the NSAO, is in its third phase of trying to figure this out. They have introduced animatronics at their senior nursing homes in the state of New York, and they say it's working. These are computer dogs. They look like real dogs. They sound like real dogs. And they're computers. They're basically robots. And now I don't know if the people that are in these nursing homes actually know they're not real. When you realize you don't have to take it out to go pee, it does exactly what you're telling it. But evidently, it is helping from a therapeutic standpoint with nursing patients. What's your thoughts on that?
Can I get one?
Yeah, that's how cool. Well, you know, there's so many. I mean, you go to Walmart and get these dogs that do jumps and they bark, and now you can hook them up to apps and make them. I mean, they're almost like, and we have these robots. People are marrying robots now. We have human robots that are almost like the real thing. But I think this is a great idea. I mean, you don't have to clean up after them. You have to do anything. And if a patient actually believes, it's like you and I coming in at night, turn the TV on. You know, we just want to have some ambience. We want to have some engagement with something. I turn the TV on the first minute I walk in the door to know I have something going on. I hear something in the house. It's the same thing with these pets, right?
I think so. I mean, especially we just talked about dementia and dogs, especially if you have a person that has dementia and you know, to them, this is like the real thing. I mean, I don't see why anyone would have a problem with this. They're not going to get sick. You know, you're not going to have to euthanize them. You're not going to have to take them to the vet. Yep. Hey, I'm a little bit worried now. Like maybe I might be obsolete. Maybe everyone's going to start doing this. Okay. So I'm going to change my position on this. This is terrible. No one should do it. Okay. All the nursing homes should go out and get real dogs. So forget this animatronic stuff. Okay. This isn't Disney World. This is real life. So don't do it.
They actually have pictures of older people who are falling asleep in their wheelchairs with these dogs sitting on their laps. And they evidently feel like a real dog. They don't even know. And they're sitting there, and there's a woman there sitting there petting this little black schnauzer on her lap. And it's a beautiful thing. And just the comfort that brings her is a wonderful thing. And particularly in this nation, you know, we have we all like to think that when dad goes in the nursing home or mom goes in the nursing home, we're going to visit them three times a week. We don't. We have our own lives and we just stay too busy. But it's really a really interesting piece. So yeah, according to Dr. Rab, just get the real deal for older people.
No, I'm with you.
No, it's great.
I think it's great, but I have to endorse the real thing.
Yeah.
just for my own, prevalence in my job.
You know, if you can find one that actually licks your hand and humps your leg, I'm in. Interesting story here. This is a really interesting story. Listen, I'm all about climate control, and I realize the world is changing, and 9 of the last 10 summers have been our hottest. We got issues. We got problems. I know the ice caps are melting and everything else. Interesting piece from CNN. Our four-legged friends don't drive gas-guzzling SUVs or use energy-sucking appliances, but that doesn't mean they don't have a climate impact. In fact, researchers have shown that pets play a significant role in the climate crisis. It suggests pet owners reassess their pet's diet, offering lab-grown meat and insect-based pet foods as a potential option for them. The article also recommended making sure that pet products such as leashes, bags, toys, and bowls are recyclable, and also advised that potential owners may be adopting smaller breeds to minimize climate impact. This is really interesting because we're talking about roughly 37 to 40% increase in pet ownership, certainly during COVID and the pandemic we went through. Obviously, we have an issue with a lot of pets that need homes, too. But, you know, I know that Wendy's now is feeding its cows something different, so they don't emit so much methane gas in the world. What have you even considered that? I know our dogs fart and stuff like that, but as far as in a carbon footprint or paw print in this particular case, I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the headlines now. You know, Alabama veterinarian disputes climate change. That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah,
but I mean, I would say give me a break on this. Okay. You know, recycling. If you know you want to recycle bowls and leashes and collars, I'm all for that. But you know, trying to limit the size of your pet or the kind of pet that you have because of emissions. You know, I mean, I can't get behind that. Animals have always been here. Mm-hmm. And I know that we have more animals now than we had, you know, and, you know, whatever weird, you know, eon that the last ice age happened or whatever. But I mean, when it comes to, you know, organisms existing, That's where I'm going to draw the line. You know, like I'm not going to change what kind of dog I'm going to get. But you know, look, you don't want me to drive a gas car, and you're going to make it so everything's battery operated. That's fine. I will go along with that. And if I need to get an electric car, I will.
Let me see
But
if I,
I'm
let
not
me,
going to get I'm not going to get an electric dog.
let me see if
And
I
if I
can,
want to get a Great Dane, I'm going to get one.
let me see if I can sway you a little bit more. Their meat-heavy diet is the biggest contributor to their carbon paw prints, which requires an abundance of energy, land, and water to produce, and the production of pet food emits huge amounts of planet-warming gases. I get that. Citing a 2018 study, the outlet noted feeding dogs and cats creates the equivalent of around 64 million tons of carbon dioxide in the U.S. each year. That's roughly the same impact as 13.6 million cars on the road. It added that if our furry friends formed a separate country, it would rank fifth in global meat consumption behind China, the U.S., Brazil, and Russia, according to UCLA professor and author of the study, Gregory Okun.
Hey, I've got a great food that you guys can all feed your dogs. It's the protein is soy. There's no meat in it.
There you go.
So there you go. Problem solved.
All right. Super. This show is brought to you by Ed's Pet World down there in Homewood. They've been open for nearly 50 years. Not only do they have incredible exotic pets, and they'll make sure that you buy an exotic pet, they're with you every step of the way to make sure that exotic pet lives as long as it possibly can. They have a cockatoo down there. I posted a video a couple of days ago. His name's Buddy. He's amazing. This thing doesn't bite. He'll talk to you, and you can pet his neck and stuff. He's wonderful. And, of course, they also have a great toy selection, Seth's Toy Closet. Buy, sell, or trade. We're talking watches, Star Wars stuff, everything still in the box. It's unbelievable. Final email here. Tracy in Casper, Wyoming, said she's been watching tons of videos with zoo animals eating pumpkins. She's like, it's the most precious thing she's ever seen. We see goats eating them. We got bears. We got monkeys. We got porcupines. Is it okay for dogs and cats to eat pumpkins? Do they like pumpkins? And with Halloween coming up, she realizes we don't want to give our animals any type of chocolate, but around the holidays, what are some foods we want to make sure we keep our dogs and cats away from?
I saw a crazy video the other day on Twitter of this huge moose like roaming, or I'm not sure where it was. It obviously wasn't here, but it was there were three pumpkins sitting by this mailbox, and it was just going to town on these pumpkins. And I don't know why I was mesmerized. I mean, so I'm with her. I think, I mean, it's very cool. Dogs and cats can eat pumpkin. Sometimes we'll recommend that they eat pumpkin. To kind of change the consistency of their stool. I would stay away from the seeds, you know, don't give them the seeds. And if you can, you don't want to feed them too much of it, okay, because then they can get diarrhea. But you know, a little bit here or there, or if you find that your dog just got, wild hair or really inquisitive and then just started eating your pumpkins outside, it's not the end of the world. But limit it so they don't have digestive problems. You want to stay away from chocolate. So this is the time of year, Halloween. I mean, it is inevitable that after, the day after Halloween for a week, we will get at least one call about a dog that got into a bunch of chocolate and what should they do. And most of the time we recommend they come in when we induce vomiting. Not all chocolate is created equally. The milk chocolate is preferred. If a dog's going to get into chocolate, milk chocolate is going to cause less toxicity. The kind of baking chocolate or cocoa, that's the worst. And then dark chocolate's kind of in between the two. It depends on the size of the dog. I mean, a Great Dane could eat the same amount as a Chihuahua, and it's not going to make the Great Dane sick, and it could be a toxicity level for the Chihuahua. So, chocolate's out, raisins are out, garlic and onions are out. Those are some common, food items that might be laying around the house that dogs can get. Also raisins. Raisins go with grapes. So those are all things to keep your eye on.
Any pets that you've had there at Ross Bridge come flying in on a broomstick lately with Halloween coming up? Any nasty issues you've had with any of your dogs and cats?
No, the dogs, don't fly in. But sometimes the employees fly in on brooms. I don't know. They've had a bad night or a bad day or something. So, but don't worry. We'll get them in line by the time you guys come and see it.
I had Kip Kiefer on recording a show before you. He has a show called Need to Know, which you can hear right here at 6 o'clock. It comes on right before your show every night. He said the scariest thing, he said it still brings him nightmares, is that witch on Wizard of Oz. He's like, every time I think of her face, it scares the hell out of him.
Yeah, I mean it's scary. The Exorcist has always done it for me. That has always burned into my brain. And it's the weirdest thing. It's not even Linda Blair.
Yeah.
But there's a scene where they flash these like weird images on a door. And that has that scene has always been burned into my brain, and it is just terrifying. Also, the old lady from the scene in The Shining when he
Oh
goes into the bathroom,
yeah.
that's really creepy. That gets me. So
The old lady in Poltergeist is pretty freaked out too. I saw Poltergeist the other day, and I hadn't seen that movie probably in 30 years. What's your scariest movie? What's the one movie that really kind of freaks you out a little bit?
man, I love horror.
Yeah.
So I mean, I love it. I saw a movie recently that just did not sit well with me at all. And it's called Hereditary. There's one genre of horror that I try to avoid, but in this case, it kind of crept up on me. I don't really like demons and demon possession. I'm a strong believer that if there is a God and there is Jesus, which means there is a devil, there is Satan. And I'm, you know, that's just I. That's just something that always has just scared me to death.
See, and I always like these faces of death, these things where there's just blood and gore. I don't need. That's what made our movies. And I'm sounding like the old man, get off my lawn type of guy here. But you know, the even the shower scene in the Alfred Hitchcock movie, you didn't need to see the knife go in. You knew what happened. You saw the blood at the bottom of the tub. And I love that imagination that comes out in us. And so I was watching. You ever seen A Quiet Place?
Oh yeah.
Dude, that's to me is like one of the greatest movies, because you don't need to see all the stuff in that movie. I have not seen A Quiet Place 2. I may watch it tonight, but that movie is fantastic. All right, happy Halloween, my friend. Scare up some business. Thanks for everything you do, and we'll catch up next week. Next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, man. Talk
Thank
to you
you,
then.
brother. Appreciate you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.